Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, Dave, Solomon, thank you so much. And look, I'm going to call him out again because he could not believe that I referred to his voice as sexy the other day. I'm just going to tell him again that it is. He gets embarrassed so easily, and it's my pleasure of the utmost to make sure that that particular situation is fulfilled each and every time we can. How are you, my friend? So glad you could tune into Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy today. Beautiful day here in Baltimore. I suspect that it's beautiful as well in Florida, where my son is making plans to come home tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's bad on the cats and I when he's away. But Mama Bear's going to have to drive to Washington, D.C. in order to get him. Don't ask me why they made plans like this, but it's all right as long as I get to pick him up. The music is celebratory today. It's just smashing. And why? Because, actually, I was inspired by our guest who's coming up next hour, and that would be Dee Lucas. If you remember, Dee was with us once before when we first started the show back in 2011. He is back. New album coming into the area with gigs. We're going to hear all about it. But first, we're going to hear Shirley Scott and Stanley Turrentine. This is especially for my bride of Funkenstein in the chat room today. Beej, this is for you, Rapid Shave. Thank you. Hyper Jazz.
anytime at all. Do it for fun, do it for love, do it for me, come on. Come with me. You'll be glad you did.
That was a nice little vacation, wasn't it? Woo! I like that. Cheryl D. Barnes brought to my attention from one of the long-standing members of the chat room. Actually, Beej was there from the very beginning, and Beej and her beau went to see a beautiful little festival in Northern Cali, or I guess North Central. Is that right, Beej? I guess you could describe it that way. But Cheryl D. Barnes was one of the guests at this particular festival and just wowed the crowd. She has a style about her. She does consider herself to be a jazz singer. Certainly was in the house when she was coming up in Cleveland, Ohio. Now she's based in California, and she was nominated for a Hollywood Music in Media Award. Those awards are going to be given out in, November? About mid-November or so. What you heard was Come With Me from her new album called Listen to This. Classically trained, and found her way back to what she was listening to when she was a little girl, which was jazz. Woo! Nice to hear that. Cheryl D. Barnes. We heard from Chris Standring, too. New as of April, Don't Talk, Dance. That's the name of the album, and we heard Inside, Outside, as he describes on his website, 13 fat tracks, P-H-A-T, plus 2 free bonus tracks. Chris Standring is going to be at the Augsburg Jazz Festival in Germany. And I was wondering about this because he will be there on the 11th of September. And Chris is from the UK. And I know that he thinks very deeply about these kinds of things. And he doesn't necessarily want you to know this, but he's very sensitive. So I think that he may have gone out and sought being at the Augsburg Jazz Festival just so he could be out of the country on September the 11th here in the States. He, along with many other people, will be thinking about the date, of course. We always will be. But some of us are acutely aware more than others. And we're all going to have our stories as time gets closer. And here it is. We're doing the show on August the 26th. This is the last Tuesday of August, if you can believe it. Now, look, has this year zipped by more than you remember other years, or is it just me? I'm asking you because that seems to be a topic for conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Woo! I don't know what's going on. I know that for us, because we're moving to Florida, things are zipping by real fast because we got to get out of here before Christmas in December. T will be finishing up his last semester at community college. So we turn around and the month has changed. Man, slow it down, please. I'm looking toward heaven. All right, don't slow it down that much, though. Shirley Scott and Stanley Turrentine started that three-song set. That was released in September, the 23rd, actually, 1964. Rapid Shave from Queen of the Organ. Like, what was Halle Berry called last night on the Emmy Awards? The Queen of the Gene Pool? Man, yes, she is. Lord have mercy. Rapid Shave, we heard. Impulse Records. Shirley Scott, Philadelphia girl, Stanley Turrentine, a Pittsburgh boy. They got that Hammond organ and that tenor sax together, and man, that live album cooked with gas, did it not? Whew! Shirley really loved, as a little gal, Jimmy Smith, who was from Norristown, PA, in Montgomery County, right up the road from Jenkintown. So Shirley decided, and she was playing piano and trumpet, by the way, that she wanted to hone in on the organ. And then Stanley, they got together, and their musical chemistry was just great. Then you put Bob Cranshaw on bass into the mix and Otis Finch on drums, and it was crazy. And by the way, speaking of dates, I always think about this. Stanley Turrentine passed away on the 12th of November, or excuse me, September 2000. So he left us before any of that stuff happened in 2001. Woo! We always start to think about this at the end of August. We do. So there'll be more conversation about that, I'm sure. Let's turn our attention to more music, shall we? Good to see you, Griselda. Yay! Nice to play Cheryl B. Barnes. I know Beach. So good to play artists that folks have seen live, because then you get a semblance of how cool they are and that they didn't need bells and whistles. Because sometimes when you're in that recording studio and you've got all these accompaniments and accoutrements, if you will, to make you sound better, when you're out on stage, it doesn't necessarily translate. I was thinking of the award show that some of us bypassed on Sunday night. Do you know that the Emmy Awards couldn't be on Sunday night because of what, MTV or the VMA Awards, whatever that is? Can't even watch it anymore. Can't do it. But the Emmys were great last night. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, you see, and Quincy Jones talks about this too in a recent article. He's afraid of the music for the future because he wants to see the quality workmanship and the professionalism and the thought process involved on what goes into start to finish an album. What's on it as the beginning song? What's in the middle? What finishes it? If somebody is able to really sing as compared to the bells and whistles that many of these young artists need now, and then when you see them in concert, you're looking at your neighbor going, what? Yeah, that's a whole other story. And Wynton Marsalis is a whole other story, too. I won't moan too much, but something needs to get said. But let's listen to the musicianship, shall we? Going back to 1987, this is Autumn Leaves. Seems timely, from Live at Blues Alley on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Dee Lucas joins us next hour. Woohoo! Thank you. Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
my God, look. I am so emotional right now. Holy cow. That's the first time that I've heard the song now since Robin Williams left. Ugh. Woo! From Aladdin, 1992. God, that is so bad. It hit me out of the clear blue sky. Jeez. Will we ever forget that genie in Aladdin? Oh, my gosh. A whole new world. And actually, I played the song because Geneva Renee was with us last week, and she was talking about how much she loved Peabo Bryson and how much she would love to be involved in a Disney animated film so that she could sing the part of a princess, do something like Regina Bell in Aladdin, play and speak as the character in the film. So just shouted out Peabo Bryson on Twitter and put his name next to Geneva Renee's, making sure that Peabo knew that Geneva considered him to be a hero and that she was playing at Blues Alley tomorrow night. Hey, you never know. What's the harm in shouting this out? Right? Right. Look, that particular song, A Whole New World, has been the only Disney song to reach number one. Very, very cool. Oh, my gosh. That song was at the end of the movie, and now it will mean something different, won't it? Yeah. When you go to Peabo Bryson's website, by the way, be prepared, because as a sister child here had a little bit of a melt scenario, you'll hear... Y-U-L-E, you'll hear Peabo singing, I'll Be Home for Christmas. So don't go to his website unless you're fully prepared not to get yourself into an emotional state. Woo, Peabo, why'd you do that? That's crazy. Regina Bell and Peabo Bryson are touring their little hearts out. Seriously. So nice to see Regina Bell doing her thing. And not only being involved in the music scene, but being a spokesperson for various endeavors and part of worship services, too. So beautiful. We'll keep you posted about Peabo. I sure would love to have him on Hybrid Jazz. If you say it, he will come. We heard, too, from a gentleman that I did not know until 10 minutes ago I was friends with on Facebook. Seriously. I really am liking this guy so much. His name is Freddie Bryant. I got to know him by way of the Jazz Is Nightlife CD that they include with their magazine subscription. Freddie Bryant is this formidable guitar player. His parents were New York classical and opera artists. So they had classical music in their home, but Freddie was gravitating to a different drummer. He is now a multiple stylist on guitar. He has a master's from Yale. This particular song that you heard is from the album of the same name, Dreamscape, solo, duo, and trio with multi-readist Chris Potter and bassist Scott Colley on here. Freddie likes to do what he calls Freddie music, straight ahead and Brazilian and classical flavored and sort of an ambient flavor to it as well. Just really digging it. He was an instructor at Williams College in Africana Studies, also at the Conservatory in Holland, and now he's at Berkeley. Very interesting guy, has played with a multitude of high-profile and very respected artists, but the interest lies in what he does on his own. I'm just really liking the whole vibe of Freddie Bryant. We'll talk more about him as time goes on. And Wynton Marsalis, Autumn Leaves, from the double live album, Live at Blues Alley, recorded right before Christmas in 1986 and released in 1987. bassist Bobby Hurst, or Robert if you prefer, and on piano, Marcus Roberts, and then Jeff Tane Watts on drums. Brother Branford has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Branford. Winton, get a woman in that Lincoln orchestra, will you? I mean, we're a little tired of saying stuff. There's a lot of talk about that. Janice Rochelle Littlejohn. We'll have more information as the days unfold about what she is doing. And Ellen Sealing, who's been on Hybrid Jazz to talk about this, it is ridiculous not to have blind auditions. To see an all-male assembly of talent that has public funding involved, and these cats that are in the Lincoln Center Orchestra are making six figures, is that correct? Crazy. So I had to play Wynton Marsalis so I could bitch and moan. I'm sorry. D. Lucas is coming up at the top of the hour. Yes, he is. Let's play something to get us up there, shall we? Let's play Lisa Hilton. Can we do that? When I Fall in Love? You want to hear a song that will make you feel a little hopeful? Here we go on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
came close to me, sailing free. It is me you feel.
Playing anything by D. Lucas on the show or having him as a guest, knowing that you want to focus time on the new album that has come out. See, for those of us who know the passion and the soul involved in that sax styling that D has, you break out into a sweat more than you could possibly imagine. Like, for example, there's Judith Nicholas on that song called Stay. I had to leave the house for a while because the cats were looking at me funny from what was coming out of my mouth when I was hearing the song. That's from the Smooth Factor. So here's our dilemma once again. D. Lucas is waiting for me to introduce him. He's holding, and so am I. I'm holding. National recording artist, known worldwide, based in Atlanta, and seriously, there are, in the past several years, so many children named D now, and you just heard an example of why that is. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome D. Lucas.
Hello. How you doing, Trish?
I'm doing much better now, Dee.
It's a pleasure to be on, I tell you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Holy cow, you fogged up the windows here in the house. No joke.
Is that bad, huh?
Man, well, look, you know, anybody that has the absolute chutzpah to name a song from a few years back, Scorpio, that's all you need to know about Dee Lucas right there.
That's right. And the rest is history.
The rest might not be able to be printable. Oh, man. It's so much fun to talk to you again, and you've had a lot going on since the last time you visited the show, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I've been in between recording. I think last time we talked, I was in the midst of recording the record and doing a lot of performances.
Wow.
It's been very busy. I've done a lot of shows just in 2014 alone. And then promoting the record. So a lot has been going on, and still there's a lot in store.
These are very exciting times.
Very, very exciting times, right? I'm very happy.
I am too, because, you know, of course, I'm thrilled at the idea that you're coming to Silver Spring at Fire Station 1, and that's going to be on September the 20th. But then I see that you're going to be at Catalina in Los Angeles. I'm real tickled about that.
Yeah, actually, the following week, on the 25th, which is a Thursday, I'll be at the Catalina Jazz Club out there in Hollywood. And get this, I'm going to have to take a red eye after that show and fly to Savannah, Georgia, for the Savannah Jazz Festival.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got the call, so I said, "Well, I got to change. I got to change travel flight and take a red eye to get back on the East Coast in time for the festival."
Oh, that's so cool, though. You know what? Who was it that said? Because through the years, we've always heard that expression. Those were the good old days, and a lot of people are saying, and I completely agree. These are the good old days, because don't you savor these moments when you've got work like this, when you're in demand and people want to hear Dee Lucas at their festival or wherever?
Well, you definitely want to appreciate these opportunities and stay humble with those opportunities, because at any moment they can be taken away from you. So, yes, I'll be the first to tell you these are great times, because opportunities are flowing in my direction, and I'm very humble and grateful to have those opportunities come my way.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You deserve to have the opportunities come your way. You know, you and I have a mutual friend in Jonathan Widdrin, and I was so happy to see that quote at your website about what Jonathan said about you, because honestly, Dee, Jonathan doesn't throw around the accolades. He likes to find out what is positive about artists. But for him to say that you have this soulful mastery of the saxophone, that's gold from Jonathan Widdrin. You understand that, right?
It really is. And I tell you, to put it bluntly, yes, it is, because when I think of soulful mastery, I think of the greats like John Albright. Those guys really got it. And for me to hear that from him is definitely in order to say thank you, and it's appreciative. It's something that you can't, grasp overnight. It takes time, but it's also part of who you are as a person, you know? It's something from within that has to come out. And if that's your soul that you put music into, it's going to come out that same way.
Well, you know, and Jonathan, even more than that, in the way that you play that saxophone and the way that you have taken into your soul the inspiration of George Howard, who's a Philly guy, and believe me, we were listening to George in Philadelphia, Dee. So, you know, for you to have gravitated at one point to George Howard, and then for me to hear George through you, that's a big deal. And Jonathan said that too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's definitely an honor, because that was a great man and a great artist, a legend, I should say, and for me to be in that same category of thinking, it's mind-blowing. But he was definitely one of my influences along with some others, but he definitely had a signature sound that I really gravitated to. And I think more important, I think what really got it done for me is really the personality and the fact that I'm a very practical person. When the masses go right, I like to go left, but as long as we meet at the same point, that's all that matters. So I was one of those guys. I believe in uniqueness. I believe in striking out on your own destiny. And I think that's the way George played as well, because he had a very unique sound, and I think he wanted to do things his way. And that kind of came across in his music, and I gravitated to that. I like anyone
yeah.
or any industry that has uniqueness. It can be sports. I was a big fan of Julius Erving. Julius Erving was not a down-the-middle type of guy. Of course, he's from Philly, right? Yeah, from Philadelphia, just like George. It's a Philly thing. But Dr. J was very unique with his style of play. Things like that I kind of gravitated to, uniqueness, your own brand, and I think that's the legacy that you want to carry.
Well, yeah, because in essence what you're saying, I used to think of George Howard to a certain degree as being like a Pied Piper, someone who was leading the way. And what you've just essentially said is leadership. When somebody pulls out of the pack and says, no, I don't want to necessarily follow in anyone's footsteps, I want to create new footsteps over here. That's
absolutely.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
I stand by that. And that's one of the reasons why I've created my my own business to support the music that I'm doing. My record label, Smooth Soul Music Group, which is my new label. I wanted to create my own. I want to catalog my own music to have ownership, because that's where it is. I just don't want to follow the traditional route, because times are changing. But at the same time, you have to create your own, and through that you have to own your own products.
Oh, that's for sure, because I can't even imagine what it must be like to be an artist in the music business at this particular time. As much as we revere independent artists, it's doubly hard for indies to get a foothold and to survive. They've got to do other things on the side. I don't know what it's like for somebody to be signed to a label these days, because what is the criteria for you to be on the label? Do they leave you alone? Is your artistic integrity intact? Do they want you to do things that aren't exactly what you had in mind? What do you make of all this, Dee?
Well, I think, and I've never been on a label to really speak on it, but just hearing from those who have been on it, I think there's a give-to-get type of mentality. You have to give up something to get something. And with that said, I mean, if you're on the traditional route of being on a label, of course you have to give up some of your creativity.
Yeah.
And what you get in return, you get, I guess, front dollars or advancement for that. But on the flip side, in the long term, in the long term of things, are you going to benefit, at the end of the road? That's not to say you want. I mean, I'm sure you can, but it depends on what you're looking for. So what I'm trying to say is there's nothing bad or good about that. It depends on what you're looking for as an artist. And I say that because every artist and every person is not meant to be an indie or do things on their own or have that entrepreneurial direction. Some people need that guidance. Some people need that team to support them to do that, so they can just focus directly on the art itself. Whereas
That's right.
you have some people, they want to have their hands on a little touch of everything so they can understand every aspect of what they're doing so they can control what they're doing so they won't get taken advantage of, I should say. So
yes.
I would never speak bad on labels because they do what they do to make money, and that's what it is. It's a business. But the artists have to understand, what are you willing to give up to get what you want?
Well, you've touched on a couple of things, but the basic point is, and we've mentioned this before on the show, it really is true that if you are profoundly talented in one direction, which is the creative direction, it doesn't necessarily translate that you're going to be good in the other direction, which is the business side of things. So, you know, you always have to seek guidance as far as what am I going to do for the next step, because the decisions that you make maybe early on in your career could affect you for the rest of your career. Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do agree with it. You have to understand the decisions that you make. And just to tap on a little bit more from the indie perspective and try to tie it into what you're saying, my decisions as an indie artist, I couldn't do it all alone. So indie doesn't mean you're independently doing things by yourself. You have to put a team together to be successful, and I think that is the key to any successful business. You have to have a key or a team of resources that can help you. You're just doing it from an independent standpoint without the funding from the conglomerates, okay? You have to do it from your standpoint. You have to gather your own resources or generate your own resources independently. But that doesn't take away the fact that you don't need help. Yes, you do need help. You can't do all that in a day's time. It's too much day, too much time, too much work, and all in one day's work. To have someone to work radio for you, have someone to market your advertising, and set your booking, plan your travel, plan your itinerary, focus on the craft, putting the band together. You need help on that.
Yes, you do.
It's good to know how to do that, have your hands on it, and be aware of what's going on, but you need the resources to get the help done for you as well.
Man, this conversation went into a different direction than I anticipated because this is so helpful to those out there who are listening and struggling about what to do next. And sometimes it can be chaotic because you honestly don't know where to turn. And if there was a set of resources for new artists to get going so that they could at least have some claim in the early stages of what they're doing, something that is their own so that they don't sell their souls to the devil, essentially, you know?
Right. I agree.
Mm. Well, we've got somebody on the phone, 202 area code. Now, I think I know who this is, Dee. You want to take a chance and see?
Sure.
Okay. All right. 202 area code. Hello, this is Hybrid Jazz. Who's this?
Hey, Trish. Hey, Trish. Hey, Dee.
Hey.
It's Derek.
Derek, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How y'all doing?
We're good. Well, Derek, we are just getting your acts on this show, aren't we?
Right. Well, I appreciate that, and I apologize for my lateness again. I was out in the street, and I was like, I got to get out of traffic. So I'm sorry that I missed, but I know that words of wisdom from the two of y'all greatly enhance the listening public.
Oh, well, thank you. Will that be cash or check?
Up here.
So, now, look, how do you two, Derek and Dee, how do you know each other? Is it a situation where there was networking involved? Is that how you came to know one another?
Well, we came to know each other when I was doing some writing on the reviews of shows, and during that time we had an opportunity to sit down and talk, and been able just to grow from there, so it's been a process, but he's been a great friend first. And, you know, that's the way I look at what we do. We're a friendship before anything else.
Oh,
right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very nice.
Totally agree.
Well, this is going to be one hot mama show coming up at Fire Station 1. Because that venue really kicks it. The last time I was there was a whole lot of people, and I would expect there's going to be a sellout crowd there for D. You want to talk about it? Who wants to talk about this particular event? Because it's appropriately named, this venue, Firehouse 1. Sorry, Fire Station 1, I'm sorry.
Right. Well, you're correct in the name and the terminology, because the management there has been outstanding, and the support that we're getting from their staff has also been great. It's a newly created venue, so it's going to take some people a little bit of time to find it and possibly some of the events that maybe I can help out with or just things in general that's going. But I think given a course of time, that's going to be a spot that you want to hit, and you're going to make it part of your rotation once you're in the area, or even if you're in the area on a regular basis.
Hey, Dee, you know, that brings up a point about where you call home. How is the scene where you live? Are there venues that continue to open? Are there restaurants experimenting with different kinds of music? What do you take on Georgia?
Well, in Atlanta, the good thing about it is a vibrant music scene. And
that's great.
It's not limited to just jazz, / urban, R&B, soul, jazz. The great thing about it is that there are a plethora of great musicians here that you can pull from, and that a lot of fans and music lovers can listen to. The venues are there, ranging from bistros, lounges, clubs, to listening venues as well. And
nice.
I think the beauty of it is that the fact that you have a lot of talented musicians that plant themselves in Atlanta. I mean, they tour with a lot of the great artists around the country, but you can see them on any day of the week performing live, but then turn on the TV and see them on an award show. They're that accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's the beauty of it, is that you got access to some great artists, and they're great guys. So the scene itself is very thriving. It's just like anywhere else, you have venues that come and go because of the economy or what have you. But the good thing about it, there's always an opportunity for artists to really make it and get an opportunity to perform.
Well, now here's another question for you, and this seems to be completely appropriate, because there's a number of artists that come here from out of town. I know that Lynn Fidmont, who's going to be here next week on the show, she has a certain core of musicians that she relies on in the D.C., Baltimore area to bring it home for her when she plays wherever, this time around at Ram's Head. Dee, do you carry with you musicians from Atlanta, or do you go to different cities and rely on the musicianship in that particular town?
It's a combination. It's a combination of a scenario where I do keep in my back pocket, as we say, a core of musicians in several markets, like a West Coast band I have, East Coast band that I have, but I also have my steady guys in Atlanta. The question remains, is the budget sizable enough to bring your band with you? And if you can, you tend to lean on those as a first preference, because, number one, they know your music right off the bat. They know your music in and out. Two, if the budget is not sizable enough, then you go to those markets where it works, and you do call on the guys that you know can get it done for you. So, yes, I do have a core of musicians in a lot of different markets across the country that I can pull from to get the music across to the listeners.
That's great. That's great. Derek, that's pretty cool news, huh? Because you know that wherever Dee goes, and especially, you know, being in the shadow of Washington, D.C., because Silver Spring is a hot and happening town. There's going to be a level of artistry there that's going to blow people's minds, don't you think?
Always. You know, I mean, this isn't something that's just new. It's been his entire career. And I'm just glad to watch him and know him while we can still reach out like we're doing, Trish, because soon it's going to take us a week to be able to get through to him.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we're speaking of musicians and stuff. I'm really thinking about picking up the phone and calling David Dyson, my great friend on bass, to join me for the show. I actually talked to him about 3 weeks ago, and he said, man, just give me a call to confirm it, make sure everything's good. And don't be surprised if you see my man on bass playing, okay?
But oh, look, you're going to have to fight James Lloyd for him because, you know, pieces have him wrapped up tight.
I know. Well, I mean, I got to fight him, but I also have to fight Walter Beasley as well. So I got two of them I got to go through.
Oh, that's right. And then, look, this is a small world in the music business because Walter's going to be with Lynn when they come to town in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
So crazy. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's so cool. Because you know what? It just seems like there is more of a family vibe going on. As much as it's tough in the music business, there just seems to be a closeness in the folks who know one another. It's getting to be that way, and thank God. God.
It's definitely a fraternity of a brotherhood there. And sisterhood, I should say, because there's a lot of great lady musicians and artists out there that we all lean and we work together. It's a great thing. And I think it's getting better because of the way the music industry has shifted where the independent, independent musicians, where we are using the resources that we have in front of us to embrace that that usher with a lot of different music. So it's a great thing.
Yes. Well, look, now, Derek, I need to play a second song by Dee Lucas here because he's our guest, and I want to make sure folks get their appetite whetted from the smooth factor. So you can either hang out for the duration of the song, or I know that you've got other things to do, and that's okay, and I don't know how much time Dee has. Dee, you let me know.
Oh, no problem. I'm good.
Okay.
You're
good? I'm with you right now. Yes.
Okay. Well, the reason I say this is because I wanted to play Santa Monica, the song with Joel Del Rosario.
All right. That's my boy right there.
I know. And he thinks the same way about you. He just said publicly this morning that it was a thrill to be able to work with you. So there.
Absolutely. I love Joel
to death. Well, it looks like a mutual admiration society. And before I go any further, I'll never hear the end of it if I don't tell you that Griselda Medina said hello.
Chris! I'll say hello as well.
Okay. She'll be laughing about that. All right. This is from the Smooth Factor. Dee Lucas is our guest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is a beautiful song called Santa Monica. Enjoy. Thank you. I do love that tasty interplay of sax and guitar. Good golly, Miss Molly, that's good. Woohoo!
Right.
Dee Lucas, yes. So nice to have you on the show, and our friend Derek is with us. And Derek, I know that there is so much to look forward to. God, it just seems like music is on a particular rise. Maybe it's this region, or maybe it's just indicative of good days to come. People are mm-hmm. feeling a little hopeful as far as the economy is concerned. It's been a long and winding road. And I know that there's turmoil in the world, but at least we have music that seems to have a star ascending at this particular point. So let's keep this doggone momentum going.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So much good stuff out there. And, Derek, I know that you've got some stuff to do. Anything else that you would like to say to Dee or to our audience? And,
Trish, I just want to say to your audience again, thank you for joining in on your platform, and thank you for supporting the music industry and being a friend to so many people and a mentor, too. So just want to say thank you. And, you know, Dee, we'll be talking, and I hate coming in late and running out early, but, you know how to catch me.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you for all that you do, Derek. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you,
Derek. I appreciate you for your loyalty. You are very loyal to those with whom you work, and that's priceless. So thank you.
Okay, and I'll talk to y'all soon, and you know, let's get this done. So hopefully, we'll see all of y'all on Saturday, September 20th, in Silver Spring.
Absolutely. Thanks, Derek.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That was nice. See, you got a lot of love in your corner, Dee. Do you feel that?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I guess I'm doing something halfway right, huh? So I can
you are.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's always good to have good resources that's in the industry that's willing to support and lend a hand, so. It's always good. It's definitely appreciative.
Well, and here's another thing about you, and it may have something to do with the fact that you got started in playing later, I would say, than a lot of other folks who were artists. So does it seem reasonable to suggest that you have an appreciation for the instrument that many might take for granted? Do you think that's the case?
No, I wouldn't say that because I think those who played or started much younger, I think the appreciation is just as greater. It's just where your passion is. I think I can only speak for me is that by starting late, my hunger was there. It just was released. You know, sometimes you can start too early and you'll burn out, but then again, you have the musicians that's doing it now. They started when they were young, so their passion was there. It always been there, and they don't have any plans of losing it. I just think it's an individual desire on what you want in life. For me, I wanted to do it at a younger age, but I had other options of choice of curricular activities that I chose. That I chose those paths. But there was a particular time in life where the opportunity presented itself, and I was ready for it. So the hunger was there. So it's just showing in the music and my aggressiveness in terms of my business style and my approach to what I want in life. It's just it's indicative to what that's reflected to my hunger. So it's individual. It's all up to the individual.
And so is humility. And you have a great deal of that. Because you fully appreciate every step or every stone in the road that has taken you this far. And you've accomplished a great deal in the time that you've been playing, I'd say. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't deny that.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, to start playing a soprano sax is very difficult to begin with. And don't ask me why I didn't start on the alto or tenor, but that was just the horn that I gravitated to. That in itself is very difficult. So I could have just lost it and given up because I could have easily gotten frustrated by playing the instrument. But there's other things that I could have easily said, hey, you know what? This is not happening. I'm not getting enough shows. The opportunities are not coming. It's not coming fast enough. I could have just walked away from it all and just maintained a 9-to-5. But that wasn't the case here. And for me, and I think what really helped me, Trish, is that when I accomplish something, I sit down, look at it, reflect on it, and I say to myself, now what else can I do? What can I do more?
Mm.
So I don't have time to relish in it or bathe in it or bask in it. I just say, okay, this is a chapter. Now let's go to chapter 2. What's next? So everything I do is continuation. Just like this record here, the Smooth Factor. It's a great record. I knew it was going to be
yeah.
a great record when I finished, before I even took it to the mastering house. When I listened to all the songs and I put those songs in order, okay, this is a great record. It's going to do really well. Now, I'm already working on the next two projects for 2015, and they're going to just be equally as greater, just as great. The thing is, you want to make it where it's a continual growth. You want to, okay, it's a continuation from the last project, and it's an extension of who you are. So that's what keeps me going. I want to see, okay, I can't wait to put this out, see where it's going to go. How is it going to do? So that's where I am with it, and I think that's what keeps me going.
And what you are saying, in other words, bless your heart, Dee, because you try to keep it positive no matter what the circumstances. You essentially just said it. If there's something that maybe is a challenge, you think, okay, what can I do to make it better next time? Let's keep this flow going. Let's keep it moving in a forward direction. You realize how many folks that are artists around us, they dwell in the negatives or they dwell in the victimization. How come I'm not getting more in the way of success than so-and-so? Why does it always have to seem like I'm the one who gets overlooked? You never are like that. You've never been about that. You keep it moving, and so everything stays fresh because you are so balanced. That balance means everything.
Well, I believe in seasons. I think everyone has a season. You just have to know your season. Your time will come. Trust me. Your time will come through the hard work and through persistence and consistency and discipline. Your time will come. So in spite of the roadblocks, you're going to get them. You're going to get them through trial and tribulation. You're going to get them through people. There's going to be people that's not going to like what you do, but there's going to be people that like what you do. So you just take the good with the bad and learn from it and move on. And your time will come. Just when you may become frustrated, well, why am I not getting this stuff? Why am I not getting this opportunity? Well, you might not be ready for it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So look at it from an optimistic standpoint. You might not be ready. And then when your time do come, be ready. And
yeah.
It will happen.
Good point.
And you know, a lot of times, Trish, it's not always about the music. Sometimes it could be just character or professionalism. Do you have the character to sustain where you're about to go? Okay, if I put you on this opportunity here, do you have the professionalism? Are you going to be on time? Now, I know you're good. I know you can play. But do you dress the part? Do you look the part? Do you have the marketing look? All that plays a part. Because we have a lot of musicians, a lot of artists that can really play. But unfortunately, it could be things that could be holding them back. Is that what we call that other thing? That other it.
Oh, yes.
That holds musicians back. It could be just an attitude thing where if you give someone constructive criticism, they cannot adjust very well. Well, it could be that right that can hold you back. So you have to stay open, have a good mental attitude, professionalism, and your season will come.
You are so right on so many of these points, Dee, because I've heard artists say, certainly in the Baltimore, D.C. area and in Philadelphia, they, when they're making decisions as band leaders about who they want to take with them on the road or who they want to have with them on a project, you know, it's been brought to their attention that so-and-so is so remarkable, and why don't you get this person? And I've heard at least a dozen folks who were in a position of decision-making say, no, because I'd rather have somebody who was a little less of a player but had more of a team attitude.
Hey, is that it factor?
There it is.
The wrong way. Is that it?
Yeah.
I mean, my thing is, are you willing to deal with, I mean, can you deal with the music and have a headache, or do you don't want a headache and you can teach someone what you want, you know, or teach them how to adapt to your way of business. So it depends on what you want, but that it factor is something else, Trish.
I know it, and really the only drama that should unfold is from the music that you're creating on stage, nothing else.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, how is it, how do you perceive now? Your debut in 2004 was a big occasion, and then there was Something to Ride To, Standing Room Only, Rebirth of the Smooth. How do you perceive the musical evolution of Dee Lucas through these years, and what is it that thrills you about each project as you move forward?
I can definitely hear the growth musically through my performance and also production-wise. And I think what happens, what I'm seeing from the evolution of my music is that I'm able to incorporate a lot of different producers. And not too many, but different producers that can give you a lot of different tastes of music. But also can teach you along the way. Because I have to remind myself, I'm still young in this game musically. I started late. I mean, I'm not young in age, of course, but in terms of experience, it's all a growth process for me. So I have to be smart enough to incorporate great minds that can get you where you want to go because you don't know it all. So you try to incorporate producers, writers that you can collaborate with that can help you get where you want to go as an end result to your project and music. Case in point, I did a show 2 weeks ago in Humphreys.
Oh yeah.
San Diego. And the keyboardist, TC Campbell. You may not know his name, but you know who he is. He was one of the founding members from Cameo, the keyboard player.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now you know him, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now what he brought to the stage was not only just music, the musicality, but the MD, the music director experience. And I asked questions, he gave me answers. And that's just an example on who you bring to the table that can give you so much more in terms of a learning process. You know, it's that kind of thing. So back to answering your question, the evolution of my records is really a result of just bringing in great music producers, great personnel that come from different backgrounds and different styles of music that shares their experiences, that share their experience, but also you can incorporate and allows you to grow, and they can support what you're doing. And each project, I hear something different. Ah, and it's almost like, man, I wish I could have done that on that first album. It's always one of those things. But you just take it and chalk it up. You know what? It's called growth.
Yeah.
So it's called growth, and that's the beauty of it all. Because I'm sure the next record that I put out, there's going to be something that I didn't do the previous five that I'm doing
yep.
now, and it really works. So.
Oh, it'll be great. You know, one of the greatest quotes of all time was by Maya Angelou when she said, "When we know better, we do better." So
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
We don't know the information in our heads right now is such, and we have to catch ourselves sometimes because we do think, oh man, I wish I knew this back in 2000 or back in 1977 for some of us, but mm-hmm. we didn't know better. So as
right.
we go along, we know the things that work for us. And the things that make us want to feel excited about gravitating to, and we know which doors to close. So you've done
great.
A great job of that. Great job.
Appreciate it. Totally appreciate it.
Absolutely. God, I'm so excited about the album. I'm excited about all the gigs, because when you go to your website, there's quite a few there, Dee.
Oh, yeah. It's enough to keep a person happy, I should say. But I have a lot going on. I have my moments where I have downtime. But, you know, for example, September's going to be very busy. The 12th, I'm in Durham at the BU Cafe. Then the next day, the 13th, I go up to Montclair, New Jersey, and perform at Trumpets Jazz Club.
That's awesome.
And then the following week, and then that's when I come down to the Firehouse Station, and I say it springs on the 20th. And then, of course, the following week, Catalina, and then the 26th, Savannah. Then I take a couple of weeks off, then I pick up a couple of dates here in October, and then I close out pretty much 2014 in Atlanta at the Velvet Note on October 31st. Now, after that, I have some spot dates, but I'm back in the studio. I always try to work in the studio around the holidays. That's my downtime. One round
really?
With family and stuff. Yeah, I try not to do too much because I have kids. My son is, he just turned 15 and my daughter just turned 6. So
oh,
I try to spend
gosh.
Time. Yeah, I try to have balance where I turn it on musically, but at the same time, I kind of shut it down from performance and, you know, spend
you
time
have
with
to.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm capitalizing on the downtime by getting in the studio and working on the products. And that's how I do that. Then I pick it up again, Trish. Then I shut it back down because, hey, my son is in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And then when his baseball schedule comes down, I pick it up again, you know. But I
yes.
don't turn down any gigs, okay? I don't turn down any gigs. I mean, when the shows come up, I don't turn them down. I just like telling your listeners and fans, no, I can't come see you. So it's just that when there's downtime, I just leave it there. And if I get a call, then, hey, I'm there. I'm there for my audience.
Well,
so.
You know what we should do when you're coming to, and first of all, you're going to be coming to this region here when it's absolutely lovely because the
mm-hmm.
temperatures will be great. It will be early fall. And
mm-hmm.
you'll feel so comfortable going back and forth. But then the Catalina deal is a big one because that's in Los Angeles. So you know what? You might want to allow some of us to make sure that we send out personal invitations to folks who will come and see you. Is that okay with you?
I welcome that with open arms.
That's
I
great.
Welcome that very well. But actually, the ironic thing about Catalina is that I kicked off my first show of this year, the Smooth Jazz, the Smooth Factor CD. That was my first CD release, April 16th at Catalina. And the show did so well, he's bringing me back.
Ooh, I love to hear that.
Yeah, he's bringing me back. And I love to hear it, too. When he told me that, I was, okay, I did something right. So, yes, please, by all means, tell people about that show. Tell people.
Yeah, well, first folks that come to mind are Jonathan, of course. Jonathan needs to know that you're going to be there. And a gentleman named Mark Arthur Miller, who's played at Catalina, he's a vocalist. His dad was one of the staff writers at Motown. And dad has passed on the torch to Mark in the way of singing. So Mark needs to see you so that maybe you guys can network, and then Jonathan needs to write about you so that people will be drawn into the fold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely contact them, and they can always give me a call anytime.
That's cool. All right. I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to let you go. How did you get together with Judith Nicholas? Because let me tell you, this song, Stay, is so hot on the CD that I can almost, like, I'm talking to you with clothes on. But I was tempted to take them off when I was hearing the song. Just so you know, Dee.
Yeah. I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you on that. Listen, we connected through the wonderful world of social media. I tell you, and I tell people all the time, Facebook is a beautiful thing when it's used correctly. And I am to convince you that. So
That's
I met Judith through Facebook, and she so happened to have been working with a producer out in California by the name of Lou Lang. Well, Judith is from London. And she had been going back and forth with, you know, visiting Lou on her record, on her solo record, producing and writing. And I developed a rapport with Judith first. And there's some things I want you to do one day in performing stuff. And it never hit me with the song, but she connected me with Lou. And I told Lou, I need two tracks for this next record. I need a vocal track. And I need another track where I want shadow vocals and I can write around it. So within 2 or 3 days, he had a track for me, and she wrote the song out, the lyrics and everything. I said, oh, my God, I got to take my time on this. And it was so beautiful that I didn't have to do a whole lot on that song, Stay. What she did, she brought it home. Sometimes
sure did.
You can play too much, and it kind of, it doesn't embellish anything on the vocals. So you know what? Her vocals are so beautiful. Let me just pull back and play a little bit in the beginning just to set it up for her to sing. And then on the bridge part, just play a little bit just to take it on out. And that was it. It was a wrap. That was a vocal tune. But that's how we met. We met through social media. And she did a great job.
She did. There's something very authentic about her. And then you can't. Oh, when you find that there's musical chemistry between two artists, it's a thing of beauty, isn't it? Oh,
yes,
man.
It is. And she's a great writer. I mean, she can write, I mean, right off the top. I mean, she's a great writer. And what she's writing, it really complements what the music that Lou produces for.
Yes.
Because they're a great team. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just continue to align yourself with these really special people, and it just seems like the decisions that you have made through the years, Dee, it's all coming into fruition now. This is your time. You feel it, don't you?
Well, these are great times. I really feel good, and I tell you just quickly, and I know we got to go, that I learned a lot from the people that came before me. So I am a thief of knowledge. I learned what George Duke did. I learned what George Howard did. He put together great people around his project.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Clark, George Duke, all those guys he played on his record. Same thing with Gerard Albright. He put together great people to make them who they are. So I try to adopt that same philosophy with my music to carry the torch on what they did. So it's just a continuation. We want to continue. We all want to put out good music for the people, because there's a lot of people out there that's not in good situations right now. But music does heal. That's a fact.
Oh,
so,
yes, indeed. Yes.
That's it.
You know, you're so wonderful, and I'm so glad that you had the time to share. You're just this really comforting and exciting persona that feels so in tune with the music that you create. It's going to be a blast to be able to see you live doing all of what you do that translates so beautifully from vinyl or plastic CD into a live performance. I can't wait for that. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to come back to the DMV area as well. The people are beautiful. And I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to see you. You've been very supportive, not just to me, but to a lot of artists out there. And we cannot say thank you enough for what you're doing. So just keep doing what you're doing, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for saying that, Dee. I appreciate that. And I told you before in a little conversation that one of my favorite songs on the Smooth Factor was On the Move. That's what you are, and that's what I am. So we have a very similar situation happening right now.
Okay.
On the move.
All right.
Dee, we'll see you in Silver Spring on the 20th of September. You take care, and we'll keep corresponding if that's cool.
Absolutely. Anytime, and thank you very much, Trish, okay?
Thank you, Dee.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Dee Lucas, let's hear that third song. I love this from the Smooth Factor, On the Move, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Bye.
This is Hybrid Jazz. Oh, there's our buddy, Lisa Engelken, with a Chick Corea song right there from her Little Warrior CD, Sea Journey. Usually you hear that in instrumental fashion, but just sounds so nice when those jazz vocals are added. Woo! And she is a jazz singer. Lord have mercy. This is what C. Michael Bailey in All About Jazz says about Lisa. Pan-sensual music, he writes, tactile, fragrant, loud, and bright. She loved that quote, so do I. She is a trippy girl from a small town. She made her way to California. She's also an actress. And I'm so tickled because it's Lisa and a very tiny staff doing everything for Lisa. She's coming to our region in October at Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and then at Germano's. So Lisa will be on the show again to make sure that everybody knows what's going on as far as what she is trying to do. She is actually looking for someone to sing Italian with her, so I'm going to try to hook her up to a female friend. These two might get along famously. It's going to be real interesting to see how that whole vibe goes. She's something very special, Lisa, and I don't know when exactly we're going to have her. I'm looking at the calendar right now. It's getting to be so crazy to try to book Hybrid Jazz at this point because there are messages being left for me on a weekly basis, and then we have to make sure that we get repeat artists back on so that they can let other folks know what's going on in the way of their rosters. Whew! I've had to take Excedrin a little bit more than usual in the past few weeks, but that's okay. It'll all smooth itself out. It will. Lisa Engelken from Little Warrior and Sea Journey, the name of the song. We heard Art Farmer. I wanted to play him on his birthday, but we didn't have a chance to because that's an 8-minute song that you heard. Crawl Space. From 1977, this cat was just so cool. He really, really was. Art Farmer was born on the 21st of August, 1928, and he left us on the 4th of October in 1999. He was a trumpeter and flugelhorn player and also had a flumpet designed for him, combination of both. Constantly evolving, an emotional player. A lot of people said that they could pick up his playing pretty much right away. He had an identical twin brother named Addison, who played double bass, and they were very close. Art had more than 50 albums to his credit. He was the co-founder, along with Benny Golson, of the Jazz Tet, and also played with Horace Silver, Sonny Rollins, Gigi Grice. Their work together was so cool. Just, you know, the reason why people identify jazz as hip. And then, really, and this is the bottom line about Art Farmer, he helped to develop the flugelhorn as an instrument worthy of solo in jazz, which is a very big deal. That particular song, Crawl Space, written by Dave Grusin, who was on the keyboards. Also, he had Jeremy Steig on flute and the amazing Steve Gadd on drums, Eric Gale on guitar. And we also heard D. Lucas and On the Move from his The Smooth Factor album, which is very contemporary and soulful and introspective but fun. D. really does know how to keep things balanced. So by the time the album is over, you're just feeling as compared to drained. How many times have you listened to a CD and you feel like you are in such a bad mood? that you don't know what to do, but by the time you're finished listening to D, you feel invigorated. You just want to go out, chop some wood, maybe take a walk to the beach, get in the car and go, do some errands. I really appreciate where he's coming from. He is a different breed of cat, a family kind of guy, too, which is where that balance comes from, and I appreciate that no end. Now, I want to make sure I get to this tune, and here is why. It's always a source of surprise when treats come in the mail. This particular treat, I had no idea. Because when I'm looking at the guy that I'm about to play, I thought, well, he looks like one of those aviation dudes from the 1940s. Whoa, he's handsome. Yes. He's got some sort of contraption behind him. It looks like what would be on the top of a building so that you can get the frequency a lot better for the building in which these units are placed. It looks like satellite networking for a large population of people. So I'm not sure what that's all about, but I was intrigued and listened to the music. I listened to every one of these tracks 3-4 times. Couldn't get enough. I was starving. His name is Patrick Bradley. Here's the amazing thing. He's got one of these unbelievably great jobs at Whole Foods. Yeah. He's on the Pacific side of things, based in California. Now, along the way, he made friends with Jeff Lorber. Yeah. Jimmy Haslip. Dwight Sills. Dave Koz. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on Dave Koz's cruise coming up in the next several days. So to hear Patrick's keyboard work was amazing. And I've already told Rick Scott, there's one Rick Scott that's the governor of Florida, who you'll never hear about again. You'll never hear about that Rick Scott again. I don't want to even think about him. But the other Rick Scott that's based in California is the cool one because he sends me these beautiful packages ahead of time. And this time he blew my mind. When you have Dwight Sills on guitar and then you've got Jeff Lorber writing songs with this guy, Patrick Bradley, who I now adore, well, this they wanted to have play for this week. Done. Patrick Bradley, the name of the CD is called Can You Hear Me? And this is the title track. This is called Ear Bliss on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Give it three hearty cheers. Hooray for love, feeling better than I've been in years. I used to give love two thumbs down, but I'm all rave since you've been around. Funny what a pair of eager lips can do. Hooray for love, there's a feeling in the air like spring. Hooray for love, I got a crazy little urge to sing, sing, sing. I've never been lucky in love before, but I hit it big when you walked in the door and threw your arms around me, wonderful you. She took my heart and broke it, made me want to lock it away. But you built a fire and stoked it down in my soul, burning out of control. A ray for love, the sweet, sexy, and sublime. Hooray for love, you found me just in time. I was all ready to be a monk, down in the dumps in an awful funk. Now I'm shouting to the stars above, hooray for love. Took my heart and broke it, made me want to lock it away. But you built a fire and stoked it down in my soul, burning out of control. Hooray for love, the sweet, sexy, and sublime. Hooray for love, you found me just in time. I was all but ready to be a monk, down in the dumps in an awful funk. Now I'm shouting to the stars above, hooray for love. Yeah, I'm shouting to the stars above, hooray for love.
If that song could have gone on for 3 or 4 more minutes, it would have been all right. Woo! Curtis Staggers. Oh, I just love that voice. Oh, man. This is what happens when you fall in love. You turn out happy music. And apparently in the past year or so, he has done that. That's actually sort of new. It's a few months old. Hooray for Love is the name of the CD. Such an interesting fellow. You have no doubt heard about Curtis Staggers and what he was able to do, or maybe who he was touring with, Prince, Bonnie Raitt, back in the 90s and as he eased his way into the 2000s. But Curtis got his roots back in jazz. That's what he started out with. And that's what he's doing, and he just has one of those voices that lends itself so much. He is going to be at the Vail Jazz Festival on the 29th. In case anybody is listening who is in that area, he's going to be 49 on October 18th, 2 days after I turn 62. That's not a big difference, right? Oh, hush up, Trish. And he's celebrating his 20th anniversary in the business. So a lot going on with Curtis. And check this out. In doing a little research about him, this is pretty awesome. Nick Lowe had written a song called What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. Nick Lowe, one of those UK legends, singer-songwriter, at one point married to Carlene Carter, June Carter Cash's daughter, Johnny Cash's stepdaughter. That must have been an interesting time. So Nick had written this song. Curtis got a hold of it, and it was on the soundtrack for The Bodyguard. That album made so much money that the word is that Nick Lowe became independently wealthy from his song via the mouth of Curtis Staggers, because it was on the Bodyguard soundtrack. Wow! Isn't that something? Yeah. We also heard Tony Travolini. I've never played Tony before. Very interesting guy, New York-based, inspired by the Beatles, as were so many. At the age of 12, he picked up a guitar, and he was able to make some connections as he got extremely proficient and poetic in his craft. He met some songwriters and some folks who were working in the business that at the time were household names: Teddy Randazzo, Don Costa, Bobby Hart, and this classically trained guitarist made some inroads. So in 1985, he was in this accident. And he almost lost his hand. Not good if you're a guitar player. But he was able to pick himself up by the scruff of his neck and able to restore the use of his hand. And after a hiatus of leaving the music business, because he did want to recoup, he found another career working in IT, and now he's back with Renaissance Man. And the song that you heard is Give a Little of Your Love, where he is playing most of the instruments. Yeah, Tony Travolini, very intrigued by this guy. We also heard, oh, did we ever? Yeah. What else did we hear? Oh, Pharoah Sanders, right. Whew, from 1982. Heart is a Melody. Little Rock, Arkansas. There's so much to say about Pharoah Sanders. He's going to be 74 in October. Played with both John and Alice Coltrane. Carla Bley. He started off young, and he learned so much about free jazz, especially when you know the circumstances of his living arrangements with Sun Ra, because apparently Sun Ra picked him up when Pharoah wasn't doing too well, put clothes on his back, food on his table, and changed his name from Pharrell to Pharoah. So this man has had some kind of career. He's still touring, and I was just looking at Bohemian Caverns in D.C. to see if he was coming back soon. I am not going to miss him wherever he is next time. Can't miss these legends. If you happen to have the chance, if you have the money to go, if you are able to have the stamina to pick yourself up, go cross town or a couple of hundred miles, please go see these legends while we have them. Will you make that promise? We heard, too, from Patrick Bradley. Can't say enough about this album. Can you hear me? Of course you can't say enough about it. Because of the personnel, Jeff Lorber, Dwight Sills, Jimmy Haslip, Dave Koz, Eric Marienthal. Good God, it's just a who's who, and everybody knew what they were supposed to do to make this music shine. Patrick, you know I'm looking for you, buddy. I want you to take a little break from Whole Foods. Sit yourself down and talk to us on Hybrid Jazz. We're working on that. Want to play a song before we go, because we need to play something for the world to make sure that we understand that despite the chaos and the agony, the anguish, the hopelessness, we have to hear the song by Jeffrey Osborne to balance these things out. The expression "work hard for peace" comes to mind. Jeffrey Osborne coming to our region on September 14th at this wonderful venue called the Chesapeake Arts Center, brought to you by Ram's Head, by the way. This is called From A Time for Love, What a Wonderful World, the Louis Armstrong song that he made famous on Hybrid Jazz.
of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies crying, I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This album came out in the early part of the year, A Time for Love, and I don't have to tell you that the producer was George Duke. So between Jeffrey and George, they would write about each of the songs on the CD. And George wrote about this. Another song that I thought, what the heck am I supposed to do? All I could think about was Satchmo. Coincidentally, I was music director of an international Hi, this is Trish Hennessy on Hybrid Jazz. Just want to apologize for that. We're not sure what happened. We've got about 28 seconds left. You just heard Jeffrey Osborne from A Time for Love, and What a Wonderful World. What an unusual and wonderful world. We'll see you on Thursday with Willie Bradley right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks to everybody who came to the chat room today. Thanks to Dee Lucas. God bless you. See you soon.